You're listening to the Audacious Church Podcast. This message was recorded live at our Manchester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Julie and I, it was our 28th wedding anniversary, just last weekend. Thank you very much. And we went away for a few, days to celebrate. And as we were driving down the motorway, we were going to Devon. And you know what it's like on a long drive? You're kind of watching the miles go down and the time go down. And you're sort of doing that, and then you're watching the signs go past. Because journeys and signs always go together. And in our series, we're talking about, this is week three, we're talking today about the wise men. These wise men, these kings, these astrologers who went on a journey because they saw a sign. Now, I don't know about you, but some of the signs you see around the country are pretty brilliant. Let me show you a few. Here's five of my favorites. Number one, this is brilliant. Imagine. And if you get there, are you still lost? Oh, that's deep, isn't it? Okay, next one. It's coming. There you go. Yeah. If you've got a sign for a secret nuclear bunker, it's not a secret. Next one. It's Julie and I looking for a new house, and she's hoping we're moving there. It's not going to happen. I mean, that's a genuine philosophical conundrum. Like, that's philosophy 101. If I read the sign, is it a sign? But if the sign is not in use and I have read it, have I made it in use? Schrodinger's sign. And then next one. Let me read the Bible and get you all back on track here. Matthew chapter 2. I was about to say it's nice to have my in-laws here, but I felt that was inappropriate after that sign. Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Let me ask you a question. Who has ever prayed this prayer? Lord, just give me a sign. Right? You know, it might be you prayed a prayer because you've met someone and you want to know if they're the one. You know, give me a sign, Lord. Or you know, you think about applying for a job, and you, Lord, just give me a sign. Or maybe you're buying a house. You say, Lord, just give me a sign. Let me know this is the one. And the house has got a door. And you think, yes, because the Bible says he is the door and he knocks on it. I'll have that sign. It's amazing what we can do when we're trying to find a way through something. We're looking for a sign that teaches and leads us. And these wise men have a moment. Now, it's interesting to me that a group of men whose day job, actually it's probably their night job, was astronomy. That God would speak to them through the stars. What coincidence? No, because God wants to speak to us where we are. We don't have to all become astronomers in order for God to speak to us in our lives. God meets us where we are in the place that we are. So if you're a teacher in a classroom, there's a great opportunity for God to speak to you through the children that you are teaching and the environment that you're in. If you're working in retail or you're working in the hospitality sector, there's a great chance for God to speak to you there. In the context of your family, God wants to speak to you there because he's not waiting for you to take up astronomy. For him to speak to you, because it's not the only way he puts a sign into people's lives. God wants to lead you through your life. And the position and story of the wise men is this. In their day-to-day life, they saw God. They didn't have to go to something special, something different. They just got up one evening and said, what are we looking at today? And one of them went, what is that? And then they asked this question, what does that mean? Because sometimes we see things in our lives and we don't ask the next great question. Well, what does that mean for me? Is there something that needs to change? And they obviously have a discussion. Let me tell you what we don't know. We don't know how many there were. We don't know that there was three of them. We know there was three gifts, but we don't know that there was three of them. And they have this conversation, this group of wise men, and they chat their way through it, and they decide this. This sign is so important, we're going to do something about it. We're not just going to see it and talk about it. Because it'd be so easy to say, oh, you know, I saw this sign in my life. I felt this is what God was saying. Let me tell you about it. And then you tell someone else about it. I really felt God was telling me that I should go as a missionary too. And this was the sign and this is how it happened. But you never went. Then you made the sign the main thing. Not the purpose of the sign. So these wise men, they have a conversation. And then they do four things really quickly. Number one, they interrupted their own lives. Because if God speaks to you with clarity, let what he said change your life. So they interrupt their own lives. Number two, they prepare themselves for the journey. Three, they prepared the gifts to take with them. Because there wasn't a spa en route that they could nip into and buy a few things. They had done their preparation. Maybe that's a word for some of you husbands out there ahead of Christmas. They had done their preparation before the day arrived. I'm preaching to myself. And the fourth thing is this, and this is the bit that I realized the first time this year, reading this again. They didn't follow the star. Because when you read the account, it says they saw the star when Jesus was born. But by the time they get to Jerusalem, they can no longer see the star. So they took a bearing on the star and headed off in that direction. Once they had seen and interpreted the star, the sign disappeared. Because it's not about the sign. It's about where the sign points you. If you make it about the sign, you miss the point of the sign. The point of the sign was to go where the sign points you. Suddenly, the wise men start moving. Just the other day, one of my friends was telling a story, and he says, hey, I was in this other country, and I was looking, and I felt God speak to me to say, there's a lady in this city who lives in the town square, in the city square, and she has a red door, and she wants to start a church, but she doesn't know if it's the right thing to do. You need to go to that city, knock on that door, and tell her this is the right thing to do. So my friend jumped in his car with his friend. They drove to this city. They went into the city square. There's only one red door in the city square. I guess that made it a little bit easier. They walk up to the red door, knock on the red door, and suddenly see that A-level drama. Not GCSE like Paul Reed, A-level. And I got an A. And so they get to the door, knock on the door. This lady opens the door, which is good. Red door, lady, city square, right place. And he says these words to her. Would you like to start a church? And she says, I've been praying for a sign. And he says, I am the sign. Because sometimes we overcomplicate life. We're saying, God, I need this or I need that. And the Bible often says just this, you can do it. I don't need to wait for a sign to worship Jesus. That's what I'm supposed to do. I don't need to wait for a sign to tell people that I'm a follower of Jesus and to talk to them about becoming connected with Jesus themselves. That's what we're supposed to do. I don't need a sign to tithe. That's what we're supposed to do. I don't need a sign to think about buying food for the big give. That's what we're supposed to do. Sometimes we look for signs when we don't need signs, and then we miss the signs when we need the signs. We have got to let ourselves hear what God says and follow the signs. Because sometimes, just because you saw a sign, it doesn't mean you're going to the right place. Wise men, they set off on their journey. A friend of mine was going to preach for another friend, And he called him. He said, "Yeah, you okay for the day? Yeah, the date's great, no problem." So he drives to the town, gets to the town, and as he's driving up and down the road, he can't find the church. And so he's driven up and down for a little while. So he phones up. He says, "Hey, I can't find the church." He says, "What do you mean you can't find the church? It's a small town." He says, "I can't find the church." He says, "Where are you?" "Oh, this is where I am." He says, "I can't even work out where you are." He said, no, sir, this is, I'm right here. Can you see the cinema?" "No, I can't see the cinema." "How can you not see the cinema? Can you see this?" 5 minutes into this conversation, he says, "Where are you?" He says, "I'm in Royston." He says, "Which Royston are you in?" "I'm in Royston, Cambridgeshire." "You're supposed to be in Royston, Yorkshire." He had followed the sign all the way to exactly the wrong place. It's interesting with the wise men. They take a bearing on this sign, right? And they know they are looking for the King of the Jews. So they take a bearing, and when they get to Israel, they go to the capital and they go to the palace, because that's where you expect to find a king. Well, they get to the palace, and you know the story. They meet Herod. And in meeting Herod, can you imagine if you were Herod? And these wise men have traveled from the east, and they turn up and they say, "Hey, we're looking for the one who's been born to be king of the Jews." And he's like, "It's me." Right, you know. Palace, throne, crown, does this not give it away to you? And I'm like, no, it's not you. Oh, that must have been a surprising moment for him. How did they end up at the palace? Because they didn't have a star to follow now. Let me read you this little excerpt from a book called Atomic Habits. James Clear writes this: "Imagine a plane taking off from Los Angeles and directed to New York. If the pilot decided to adjust the course by a few degrees to the south prior to departure, the plane would move a few centimeters and no one would notice. However, throughout the journey, the impact of that little change would be tremendous, to the point that the plane would land in Washington, D.C. instead of New York City, a miss of 230 miles. It does not take a lot to find yourself off course. It does not take a lot to look at a sign and they lead you to somewhere you didn't think you were going to be. For some of you in life, you feel the pressure of not having done all that you hoped. You feel the pressure of that you missed it. That there was a something that you could have done, should have done, would have done if everything had been just right. But that moment feels like it's been and gone. I think for the wise men, that moment when they arrived and they turned up in Herod's palace and they're like, "What do you mean there's no baby? Like, we definitely must be in the right place. We had a sign and we followed it to the right spot. And this is a palace. This is how is this that way?" Can I encourage you this afternoon? You have not missed everything that God has for you in your life. Can I encourage you this afternoon? It may have been a mistake, but it doesn't mean that you've missed it all. It may feel like there's been a little bit of a reroute, a detour, but God is more than capable. God is more than able to take you from where you are and get you to where you need to be so that you can do everything He has called you to do with your life. If you think you missed it, let me encourage you, you haven't missed it yet. We know you've not missed it because you're breathing. The fact that you're breathing today, let me tell you what, the fact that you are here and breathing today tells me you have got through every bad day you have ever had. You have made it through the worst week of your life, even if the worst week of your life was this week, because you've come through it. That means you are still positioned for God to move in your life. You are still positioned for God to use you to do everything He promised to do in and through your life. Nothing has changed. Nothing has been missed. You just got to look again. They turn up and they say to Herod, Herod, we're trying to work our way through this because it feels like we are now off course. We came to look for a king, but it's not the king we expected to find. But God can use the place where you are to get you to the place he wants you to be. He can take you right where you are and get you where he wants you to be. Because it was in Herod's palace that they found something out. Well, so where is this king? Herod turns to his wise men. Well, guys, where is this king? So they say, oh, well, scripture. Almighty Herod, it says this, Micah. No chapters, no verse at this point. Somewhere in the middle of Micah. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come from me one who will rule over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. They had a sign, but now they got a word. They had a sign, a something in their world that pointed towards something God was doing, but now they got a word from God. This is where to go. I think at this point they teach us a really crucial lesson. You see, these wise men, they're probably from southern Iran, southern Iraq. And they've been on this journey that's taken them up through those countries, across the top, in through Turkey, and then they've dropped down through Syria into the promised land. They've followed a thing called the Fertile Crescent. And in doing that, it's a journey of probably 2 years. This was not a casual, shall we pop out and see the King of the Jews? This is a 2 year commitment they have gone on. And when they turned up, it wasn't what they thought it was going to be. They hear this piece of narrative, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah. Well, okay, so where is Bethlehem? It's 5 miles south of Jerusalem. When you have gone for 2 years through what you have gone through, an extra 5 miles doesn't feel like much. When you've kept pushing and pushing, when you've gone for maybe it's over the next hill, maybe it's in next year, maybe it's in the next job, maybe it's in the next change of work circumstance, maybe it's in the next doctor's report, maybe it's in the next time we have a conversation, maybe it's in the next time that we get together and it's not as bad as it was, maybe it's in the, and someone says, well, it's just down the road. You're so close to where you wanted to be. And I think this is the lesson. Just go a little further. Just go a little further. Do you think there was any conversation that went, do you know what? 2 years, 5 miles, I can't be bothered. I am done. I am going back. I know it's 2 years to get back, but I left a brew on the side. There's nobody thinking that. They are thinking to themselves, we are so close. Now, if you knew how close you were, if you knew how close you were to the breakthrough that you've been praying for and believing for, now, if you knew how close you were to the thing that you have fasted for, that you've gone, God, I've gone without in order to see your will done. If you knew how close you were, you would just keep going. Your moments from your miracle, don't let anything distract you. Don't let anything distract you when you are this close to getting the breakthrough that you have been believing for. It amazes me that these wise men, they immediately set off. It would have been easy to stay with the king, to find the king. Because the environment feels right. Palace, throne, crown, court. It feels right. Some of you are sat in environments that everything says it's right, but the answer is wrong. Let me prophesy over some of you right now. You're sat in environments where you keep saying to yourself, but it all seems right. It all seems right. It all seems right, but it's not happening the way I thought it was going to happen. And the Lord is just shaking you right now and saying, don't sit with a king when you're looking for the king. Don't settle for a king when there is one who was born king. You see, Herod became king when the throne was passed to him. Jesus didn't have to wait for a throne to be passed to him. He was born king. Your situation's not, you think you're waiting for something, for someone to give you permission to be something, but you were born. And at the point of your birth, you were called. And in the calling that's on your life, you got to stop waiting for someone to go, come and step into all I have for you. You got to recognize who you are and say, this is who I was born to be. This is what I was born to do. I am right to be here and in it right now. And so they immediately leave that environment. They walk away, everything, camels and all, gifts, servants. They leave and go to a rough town 5 miles away. And as they get into Bethlehem, a star appears. Reads like this. After they heard the king, they went on their way. The star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. They'd seen a sign. They had got a word from God, something from the Bible, and then this star, this sign they originally seen, confirmed the word. Oh, they are overjoyed. They just needed a little something to get them on that last bit. God knows what you need to get you from where you are to where He wants you to be. He knows what you need. And He's ready to speak to you and to show you and to walk you to that point. They arrive. We don't know what they arrive at, really. Whether it's a stable or a cave, whether it's a home that Mary and Joseph are in, we don't know what they arrive at. We do know that Jesus is not the baby in arms that He was when the shepherds came, because this time has passed. The star rose when Jesus was born. This 2-year period of journey has passed, and you've got a toddler. And it says that the wise men, they came in and they did what you have to do when you enter the presence of Jesus. You see, they didn't go, oh, this is great. Should we have a meal? They didn't go, let's make this an event. Let's make this a something, because it is a something. It's a big deal. We've come a long way for this. You've probably never had wise men like us come into your home. We understand that. But the Bible says this, that when they entered the presence of Jesus, in the richness of robes, with gold, frankincense, and myrrh, they just bowed down. They came before the king. The king. Not a king. It doesn't tell us they bowed before Herod. But when they walked into the presence of Jesus, it didn't matter what He looked like. It didn't matter that His human age was somewhere around 2. Because they didn't see the toddler. They saw the king. They didn't see the toddler. They saw the Ancient of Days. They saw the one whose hands had flung stars into space. The very stars that they had looked to, that had led them to him. They found the author. And they dropped to their knees. And they bowed down in worship to the king. Their gifts scattered, forgotten around them. Because when we meet Jesus, we worship. 2 years of travel, 2 years of discomfort, 2 years away from family, 2 years of loss. But in that moment, they have been on the journey. They have carried the pain, but they have met Jesus. I don't know where you're stuck in the middle right now. I don't know how much pain you're carrying right now coming into Christmas. I don't know whether everything is great. Oh, it has been the worst week of your life. But I do know Jesus is here. And there is only one response to his presence. They worshipped. Why don't you stand to your feet across the room? We're going to sing in a moment. And as before, if you want to take your mask off to sing, then please feel free. But we're going to worship him. Because it is the only appropriate response to the presence of Jesus. We'll worship him by singing. Because we've already brought our offering of money. And we're bringing our offering of food. But as we come into his presence, we're believing for something to happen. Because here's the final lesson from the wise men before we sing. When you encounter Jesus, you do not leave the way you came. When you truly encounter him, you are changed. And so these wise men, in a dream, realized, don't go back to Herod. We're going to go back different.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.